Pasukim on page 478. We start at page 478, Pasuk Tes. We did a few Pasukim together. Pasuk Tes, Yud Aleph. Three Pasukim. Tes, Yud, and Yud Aleph. Let's read them again quickly. We'll catch up, come back up to speed where we're up to. Shimona Zeis Rashai Beis Yaakov Katine Beis Yisrael. Micha is speaking. Micha says, listen now to the leaders of the Jewish people, the Beis Yaakov, Katsine. Katsine is another word for a leader, Beis Yisrael. Ham Savim Mishpat. Those individuals who detest Mishpat. V'yes kol ha'yishar Ya'akeshu. And all those that twist and turn Ya'akeshu, they corrupt Yashus. Boinei Tzion, good morning. Boinei Tzion Bidamim, those who build Tzion with blood, the guilty of murder, they use the assets, the wealth of the victims to build for themselves beautiful palaces in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim Ba'avla, and Yerushalayim is built on a foundation of Avla, of wrongdoing. Avla is not such an easy word to translate. We use it all the time, we throw it around. What does it mean someone did an avla? What does it really mean what it says in the dictionary, when we use it in our own mind, someone did to me an avla. It's very common. Isn't it a very common expression we all use? What does that mean? It means someone did something wrong. He did something...
Well, he translates it as injustice.
Injustice.
Wrong.
Okay, he wronged me, but I think the way we use it colloquially, it has a much richer connotation. It has more than just, it was an act of injustice, it was an insult. Isn't that also, there's also some degree of a disappointment. It's not just it wasn't fair. You feel betrayal, I think also betrayal. It has in our vocabulary a very rich translation, a very, very powerful meaning, an avla. An avla was done. It's an understatement that it was an injustice. There was also disappointment, betrayal. There was an insult. There was a revelation of what who the person really is. What kind of person is this? Avla today in our vocabulary is a very powerful word, which I think that's the way it sounds to me. And interesting over here, like, where does it really come from? Like, where does our language come from? We speak today in America, we speak English. So those who speak a very good English, every so often you have to throw in a Yiddish word. You have to throw in a Hebrew expression that's not used by the non-Jews. And those expressions are coming from somewhere. They're coming from your parents, from your grandparents. It's been passed down from many, many, many generations. Where many of these expressions come from, and it brings with it a certain emotion. And it's interesting when you see it in the Pasuk, how it's used in the Pasuk. It's very, very fascinating. What does it really mean? Yerushalayim has been built on Avla.
Okay, so we have in the Shir, in the Tuesday Shir Shemayah, Avla Sai Tishbetu Ovel.
Ovel, okay.
So that's injustice.
Okay, right, correct. I never even made the connect of the dots. Ovel is Avla. It's an ayin. Ovel here is an ayin, correct?
Ayin.
Yeah. Ayin, yeah. Ovel. Okay, so I never really connected the dots.
It's very...
Kol osei ovel. Kol osei ovel.
Targum Yonatan explains exactly what
yeah.
It says. Yerushalayim ben Nichlin. Nochel is somebody who looks like she's a bike.
Crooked, undermined.
Behind the scenes,
is a phony.
He looks I'm a salesman. I know that, but no help.
From the outside, he looks fine, but the inside, under the hood, he's crooked. Under the hood, he's corrupt. He's a crooked person. Ovel is crooked. Okay, the word. Right, I didn't connect the dots. Ovel means kol oisei ovel. Ovel means wrongdoing, transgression. But when it's used in the form of avla, at least in our tongue, it has a richness which you can't really translate. Okay, Rav Kalman is pointing out what it says in the Targum Yonasan b'nichlin. Okay, inachanami nichlin. I'm not from all that familiar with the richness of the Aramaic words, but b'nichlin means also it has also a unique connotation of a person that is a phony, All right, let's put that aside for a moment. Pasuk Yudalef Rosh Shecha B'Shechad Yishpoi. Today we learned this yesterday in three different categories. We have the Rosh Shecha, the leaders, B'Shechad Yishpoi. They judge. Their verdicts are based upon bribery. What exactly is the difference between a kohen and a rosh? The kohanim are issuing decisions with the term yoyru, whereas the rosheha, they're issuing decisions with the term yishpoitu. Okay, that's a very interesting difference. It would seem to me that the difference is when the word yishpoit is a decision between two individuals. You come to court for mishpat. There's a dispute. There's a legal dispute. Who owes who money? So the amdu shneho anashim la mishpat. The shneho anashim come for judgment. Mishpat. There's going to be a decision rendered by a judge. Who is right? Who is wrong? Yoyru in our language is used in reference to yoredeya. Yoyra yoyra. As a person who gets smicha. So what does it say on the smicha? It says yoyra yoyra. And not everyone in certain Rosh Yeshivas, they did not write in everyone's smicha yoyra yoyra, because they felt just because the students sat and learned, they took the exams. The students did not pass the exams, so it was very common that many Rosh Yeshiva in smicha programs in the last generation in America. So that, you know, you go to yeshiva and you go into a smicha program, and the Rosh Yeshiva doesn't feel you are up to it. You sadly came to yeshiva, you took the exams, but he doesn't really want to give smicha. But he can't, because if he's not going to give smicha, you know, it's an insult to the boy, to the family, v'chulu v'chulu. So they use, some of the Rosh Yeshivas would write a personal smicha for every student. And not every student would they write the words yoyra yoyra. They would write is royally ois. What would they write? Nikra Rav, right? He's called a Rav. Shalom Aleichem. What's your name?
Shlomo
Cohen.
Shlomo Cohen. Oh, easy name. Shlomo Cohen. Welcome. Welcome. So the word, so yoyra yoyra means you can, literally it means you can issue a legal decision, a halachic decision. Yeah, now the word yoyra yoyra, the way it's used traditionally is yoyra deya. Yoyra deya is not bein odom lachavero. That are matters of issues bein odom lamokoin. Is the chicken kosher or is the chicken treif? Okay, the matters of yoyra deya are Isser V'Heter. Matters of Isser V'Heter is what traditionally we the word Yoyra Yoyra. Those who go on for a higher level of smicha would get what's called Yodin Yodin. Yodin Yodin. Or we say Yodin Yodin, we say correctly. Yodin Yodin is Mishpat. That is Choysha Mishpat, to judge Ben Adam Lachavera. So it would seem, I don't know if this is true, but it's interesting over here, we have two different types of leaders. We have over here the Rosh Hashanah. And the way the pasuk defines the Rosh Hashanah, the corruption is b'shoichad yishpoitu, which seems to imply that the Rosh Hashanah, their mission was mishpat. V'choyhaneha, the priest. Now the priest does not mean a person who only serves in the Beis Hamikdash and does avoda. V'choyhaneha means a teacher. The word avatem tihi yun li mamleches koyhanim. The Goy Kadosh. The Mepharshim explained that Klal Yisrael is the Or Lo Amin. Klal Yisrael, they are the model. They are the one that instructs the Umo Yisraelim about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They teach the world about religion. The Atem, you Klal Yisrael, Tihiyuli, you will be the Atem HaMa'at we call Lo Amin. But Hashem recruits Klal Yisrael to be a Mamleches, a kingdom of Koyhanim. Every single member in Klal Yisrael is called a Kohen relative to the Umay Sa'olam. We are the teachers of the Umay Sa'olam. So the correct translation of the word Kohen is a teacher. So here as well, we have over here people who are, and this doesn't just mean teacher, it means people who are teaching religion, which means that they are the authority of religion. And the term that's used here in this pasuk is Yoyru, which perhaps indicate that this set of leaders are issuing decisions related to Yoredeya, Bein Odom Lamokoim, Isur Veheter. Okay, matters that do not affect the non-monetary disputes, matters of nida, hilchos nida, kashrus, things like that nature, matters that are bein iser v'heter, matters between man and Hashem, are these things osir or forbidden? Mishpat has a connotation of issuing a judgment relating to bein odom lachaveroi, and that usually translates into dollars and cents of money. So the Rosheha are the judges who are deciding matters of Chesha Mishpat. The Choyaneha are the judges that are deciding matters of Yoredeya. And they're corrupt. They're corrupt. The Rosheha, they're deciding based upon Shoychad. And the Choyaneha, like I gave you the joke yesterday, you come to the rabbi. So for $20, it's treif. For $25, for $50, it's kosher b'dieved. For $75, it's the whole drug yesterday of $200 is glat kosher, it's glat, beis yosef glat. Depending on how much you want to pay, that's what the decision will be regarding the basa, the issa v'heter. Univiyeha, then we go to the next category, the nivyecha b'kesef yiksaimu. That's a whole new category. A navi is not coming to decide chosher mishpat. A navi is not coming to decide yeredeya. A navi is coming to tell you moral teachings, trying to tell you what's going to happen in the future. If you don't behave, if you don't do teshuva, it's not going to be good in the future. They are yiksaimu, divining the future. And by the way, I'll just tell you a joke. Is that someone used to tell me this used to be a, I don't know if it's true or not, maybe it is, but there was a certain Rosh Hashiva, he had a student that really was not up with the, was not fit for smicha in any form. But the student would not, you know, he would be such a busha not to give him smicha. So he wrote in the smicha, V'roi lihiyois, V'roi loimar yigdal, V'gam anam zmiris. Instead of writing in the smicha, Yoyra Yoyra Yodin Yodin V'roi lihiyois, Rav u'manig b'Yisrael. That's a typical nusach. He's fit to be a Rav, a rabbi, a manig, a leader amongst the Jewish people. So he wrote, V'roi, V'roi, V'roi Loimar, he's fit to say Anim Zmiros and Yigdal at the end of davening. That's what he wrote in the smicha. And the student was so weak, he didn't even know what the Rebbe wrote in the smicha. V'roi Loimar, Anim Zmiros, Rav Yigdal, V'sof Atzil. That was what it said in the smicha. Okay, so when he goes for a job, that they show us to the Balabatim, sometimes the Balabatim don't even know what smicha is. There's a famous story about a certain Rav who did not have smicha, and he went out of town somewhere to a group of Balabatim that didn't even know what it says in the smicha. And they said to him, well, are you certified? So the truth was, he wasn't. So he said, yeah, I'm certified. So where's your smicha? So he brought them his ksuba. And he hung it up in his office in the shul behind his desk, his ksuba, and all the balabatim thought that's a smicha. I think it's a true story. Find out the person who did this, okay? his wife was smicha.
She was
doing it. Okay. So now we go to next, and then the pasuk concludes, V'al Hashem Yisra'ena, this is the hypocrisy. You have a society where Chesha Mishpat is corrupt, Yeredeya is corrupt. The moral leaders, the Nevi'im, are usually a reference to the moral leaders. They're not deciding halacha, like today you have the inspirational speakers, okay, the people, the Malamdim, who are the moral conscience of Klal Yisrael, they are corrupt. And yet, what do people say in the street? They say, oh, everything's fine. Everything is fine and good. V'yal Hashem Yisra'enu. People say in the street, we rely upon Hashem. Leymar, Halay Hashem b'kirbeinu. Hashem is amongst us. Lo yisavaleinu ra'ah, the base hamiglish will never be destroyed. So this is the ultimate joke. For people to live a lie, to the degree of corruption should be so, go so far where every dimension of their lives is corrupt. And yeah, for people to convince themselves that they are tzaddikim and nothing is wrong. Okay, let's see over here.
He used to say, "Yitzhak Hashem, I'll pay you the rent," and he didn't pay for a while, and he said, "Hashem didn't want."
Exactly. It's exactly that. Exactly. You hit the nail on the head. Okay, so we learned yesterday, we learned the Mitzudais, and we started yesterday the Radak, and we were in the middle of the Radak. So let's pick up with let's start from the Radak again, okay? Because we just started. Let's start from the Radak Pasik Tes on page 479. Shimuna Shav Leachiach Haroshim V'Hakitzinim K'Moshe Amal L'Malo. Micha is now returning to his theme of Musar. Pasik Yakeshu Yavisu to corrupt. Injustice, all the various translations that we discussed. Haderech hayishara he ma'avsim oisa, the derech hayishara, what is straight, they twist. V'chol darcheihem u'ma'aseihem chamos v'gezel. All of their ways are extortion and theft. Pasik yud. Boinet tzion, now this is a very interesting expression. Boinet tzion bidamin. The people, they build tzion with blood. I mean, what does that mean exactly? We translated it very loosely as they murder, and they spill the blood of their chaverim, and they then steal their assets, and they use those assets to build the beautiful city of Tzion. Kol echad meharashim v'hakitzinim. Now he says something very important. We're addressing here the leaders. If I remember correctly, we learned in Mitzudos yesterday, he didn't focus on the leaders. Maybe I was wrong. What does it say in the Mitzudos? V'bonet Tzion. Kol echad boineh beiso b'tzion b'damim. Now, when it says kol echad, does the Mitzudos David mean to say every one of the leaders? Or does it mean every one of the citizens? I read it yesterday very simply. I thought in my mind it meant every one of the citizens. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe not. But the Radak clearly explains that we are addressing specifically the leaders. It makes sense because we are going further. Pasuk Yud Aleph discusses the leaders. Yud Aleph Rasheha V'Chay Haneha U'Nevi'echa. Those are the leaders. But does that mean that Pasuk Yud is also the leaders? Well, maybe another reason, because it's sandwiched in between Pasuk Tes and Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yaf. What? Maybe it does.
Because they followed, because the leader set the tone.
Correct.
Correct.
It's true. Okay,
so
but the word
they are held accountable.
But it may help us understand the word "seen" a little bit better. And I'll explain, later I'll explain to you why I'm coming here. Because it's a very funny expression, but it's poetic, right? Bonet Tzion b'damim and Yerushalayim b'avla. This Tzion and Yerushalayim. What's the difference? Not for this moment. And you'll right away say, oh, it's Micha. Micha, from all of the prophets that we've studied, he's the most poetic, the most articulate. So he's embellishing Tzion and Yerushalayim. Absolutely. And since Pasuk Tes is discussing the leaders, okay, Pasuk Tes says, the Roshei Beis Yaakov, Ukitzine Beis Yisrael, and Pasuk Yud Aleph is discussing the Roshecha, so I think it's very fair game. The Radak is very correct when he says Bonei Tzion B'damim, we're also discussing the leaders. You're sandwiched in between me, Mizeh, Mizeh, so we're discussing the leaders. And maybe that's really what the Mitzudas David means. When the Mitzudas David says Kol Echad Bonei Beiso B'Tzion B'damim, we're discussing over here the leaders. And when he says Kol Echad, each one of the leaders. Okay, let's,
in reference to what Michael said, we're saying now, we said, I think last week, was correcting the people for not standing up
against the leaders.
Correct.
So maybe here he's coming to give Musa to the people. Okay, so it's all subject to interpretation. Absolutely, you're correct. The people are guilty. Why did you allow this to happen? Why do you tolerate corruption from your leaders? Okay, leaders, there are checks and balances. It's not for nothing that we have a society where we are, you know, there are balabatim who pay the rabbis. Okay, rabbis can become corrupt very quickly. Absolute power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. And that is it's a fact. The other way around? I said it wrong? Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. Is that,
yeah,
is that how it goes?
That's correct.
Okay. So there is this, and it's definitely true today. You see today that people, rabbis who are boss of their own shul, and if they do not answer to anyone, which is very common today, that's the style today, much more than it ever used to be. Much more than it ever used to be is where shuls basically are run by private people. Very common. And they don't answer to anyone. It's my way or the highway. And that gives them a certain degree of freedom, but it also is a very great nisayon in allowing for corruption because there are no checks and balances. They're not accountable to anybody. And, you know, it's not a perfect world. Any event, you're right, the people were held accountable for not giving musr to their leaders. The leaders are also subject to musr from the people, and they were guilty. So maybe that's what it means here as well. Let's go further. Maybe it means that the people over here, they were so corrupt, so the leaders also followed in the way of the people and did the same exactly. Let's go further. Oh, yeah. Roshecha, Kolecha, Hashem, let me see the Mari Kara. Mahari Kara, let me see. Mahari, what page is the Mari Kara? Page 478, let's see the Mari Kara. Vaynetzion Bidavim, Bitviya. Kalaimar Vichisvurim, Haim, Sheyivne, Hakadosh, Baruchu, Beoid, Sheyde, Malayim, Davim, Vagam, Yivne, Yudushalayim, Beoid, Shavla, Biadam. So the pasuk is a rhetorical question. It's a rhetorical question, and the subject is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Do you really think that Hashem will be boinei, will continue? We say in benching, uvinei in davening, uvinei Yerushalayim ir HaKadosh b'mehera v'yameinu. Do you really think you will merit to see uvinei Yerushalayim? You'll see uvinei Yerushalayim when the people are mole, the people are mole damim. So boinei tzion b'damim. So this is it's a very whole new interpretation. We're not discussing the leaders. We're not discussing the individuals. We're discussing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's a rhetorical statement. Do you really think the Ribbono Shel Olam will build the Beis HaMikdash when the people are thoroughly corrupt? Their possessions are only gained through the spilling of someone else's blood. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Rasheha. No, let's go further. Let's go further. Let's read again. Pasuk Yud. On page 479. Boinei Tzion, kol echad meharashim vehakisinim, boinei beis abidamim, retzo loymar. Begezel v'chamash oisim lanim v'oisim she'ein b'hem koyach lamod kinegdam. The vulnerable, the leaders take advantage of the poor and the vulnerable, and they steal from them, they exploit them. V'hinei oisim mamon sheloichim begezel hudam ha'ashuk. The money they steal is from extortion, blood of extortion. Shayhu ki'ilu shayfech damai. The Radak lightens the severity of this pasuk by telling us that the murder did not actually happen. There was no actual blood in the streets. It means it's as if they spill blood. She'ein loy ma yoychal v'yoshiv es nafshoy. They don't have what to eat. V'yoshiv es nafshoy. And I don't know what that means exactly. They die, they wither away. They wither away, it seems. They wither away. They don't have any. They have nothing to eat in v'yoshiv in order to restore their neshama. They have no food in order to give themselves some chios in this world. So is the way of all the corrupt people. Es nefesh ba'olav yikach. They take the neshama of their victim. The Ba'alav means the one that originally owned this money, this wealth. It's now been taken away from them by taking away their money. They don't have what to eat. And by them having now what to eat, they have no koyach, they have no self-esteem, and it's as if they've taken their life. The Yonasan Tergame, Yonasan translates, Devonan, Batehon, Bitzion. They build their homes in Tzion, Bidom, Ashir, with blood of Ashid. I'm sorry, Bidom Ashid, blood of destruction. Okay, this is, I think Ashid means I think what Ashid means, I'm not sure what Ashid means. I take it back. Ashid, entire group, I don't know what it means. It's something, I guess, along with blood of extortion, of Gezel, I'm assuming that to mean. V'yushalayim b'nichlin. Okay, I didn't know that word. Rav Kalman says the word nichlin means someone who's a phony. A person who on the outside appears to be a crook, with money that crooked money they gain through illegal activity. Nira, ki hevin bidamim kimashmoy, he understands the word damim mean blood. It means literally blood. So he has now a whole new interpretation. It means they would take bribes from murderers. A new interpretation is fundraising. This is the age-old discussion which we spoke about too many times, is where do fundraising, what are the proper sources to fundraise from certain types of groups of people? Is it proper to take money from the mafia? To take money from the mafia to build a shul. You have it's not a joke. It used to be very common. It used to be there were mafiosos and they had relationships with different people in the community, rabbis. And what?
The Baron Cutler.
Yeah. That's right. There's a whole story about Cutler, very good. There's a story about
needed something the shaman or something should help him. And he met one of the mafia guys, and the mafia guy said to him, give me a bracha, and he told him a bracha is, you will die in your own bed. And all the other guys were, what do you mean you're going to die in your own bed? And he was very happy. He said, thank you. All my other dons get killed.
That's right.
And after he died, 30 years, it was after Rav Aaron died, he was nifter. So after the guy died, the children came to the yeshiva,
did the yeshiva take the money?
No, they didn't give it.
Wasn't
they asked for a blessing?
Yeah.
Yes or less for Rishnah. Rishnah said that it's not like my father. I can't give such a blessing.
Right, that's the story. That's how I remember. Right, yeah. The story was that if Aaron Carlo gave a bracha, there was some situation. I don't know the details.
I had to get people out of Italy.
Yeah.
It was right after the war.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that was the story, right?
So it went to Frank Costello.
Thank you.
And so the Baron took out a whole lot of money paying. He didn't want to pay, he just gave me a blessing.
Wow.
And that was the blessing?
The blessing was that you won't be killed. That's a tremendous blessing. For them, that's a tremendous blessing. That's priceless. For them, it's priceless. It was priceless, that blessing. Oh, Eshed HaChom is a waterfall. Eshed is a waterfall. Excellent. So it's a waterfall. Bedam Ashid. A waterfall, a flood of blood. That's what it means. A flood. Excellent. A flood of blood. And now, what does it mean, a flood of blood? It doesn't mean they actually murdered. It means they took money, donations. They solicited donations from murderers. Now, where did the murderers get their money from? From their victims. Or they were paid to murder. The mafia. You pay enough money, they'll take care of whatever needs to be done. It will get done. So where do they have their income? Where is their money from? From murder. And you solicit these individuals to give donations to build Jewish institutions or to build your home. This, Shalom Aleichem, this is a horrible, horrible thing. And this is what the Navi is giving Musa to the Klal Yisrael, is that these botim, these homes, whether he's referring to ordinary homes, referring to bote midrashim, are built with funds that come from unholy sources. How can you expect there to be siyata d'shmaya, the people learning Torah and davening in these places, to have success in their quest to come close to Hashem when the ground that they stand upon has been purchased and everything has in this location has been built with money that is stolen, or worse, money that comes through a water flow, a flood of blood? This is the Musar. And this is a very big dilemma today, because as an extension of this, as this principle, Jewish institutions, when they have opportunities to solicit funds from all different types of people that are involved in many different industries, which are not something that we're proud of. The entertainment business, okay, is it proper to go and solicit funds from people that are big celebrities in the entertainment industry? Okay, so on one end you'll say, well, Chazal say the people that are guaranteed to go to Olam Haba are the entertainers. They make people happy. Do you say that today when the only way you can make someone happy is through, unfortunately, things that are not al derech haTorah, every, I mean, every television show, if you don't have at least one murder and one event of Gilead Arias and one event of Avodah Zarah referring to the dollar, the almighty dollar, then you're not, the ratings will be zero. You can't entertain someone unless, I once read an article of how many murders, if you watch television at night, how many murders you see in the average episode of your favorite.
At their home,
what?
They're killing each other over the remote.
Over the remote, also. Look, it's not for nothing that there's the politicians today are suggesting that Rahmana Litzlan, these horrible shootings that are going on all over the country, where is it coming from? Who's planting these crazy ideas in the minds of people in America? Maybe it's because the entertainment industry, maybe they are to blame. Maybe they're brainwashing our minds from the time you're in the crib. Every single night, if you watch a television show, what do you see? You see murder, 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 murder. So maybe, you know, it percolates in a person's mind. By the time they become, they get a little bit older and they buy a weapon, it's not so unexpected for someone when they have a bad day at the office, they're going to go out and kill everyone.
Well, no, it's more like they say it desensitizes us.
Exactly. It desensitizes us. So this is something which is a very, very serious matter.
Well,
and
it doesn't mean you're going to go out.
Unfortunately, look what's happening. Look what's going on in this country. It's horrible. It's frightening. It's unbelievable. It's not real. The games are unbelievable. The games are unreal. The game, the way you score points is how many people you can kill. And how many people are worse than killing. I don't even elaborate. You don't know what I'm talking about. What the goal is. Not real. How the way you earn points in certain games is basically how many women you can rape. And it's graphic also. The games today are so realistic. It's not real. How realistic is, these games are. The technology, how far it's gone. It's not so simple. But here, he's telling us that people who build institutions based upon people who earn money through Shvichas Damim, Hashem says, what do you think? What do you expect? You think the space HaMikdash is going to continue to survive? By extension, how do fundraisers deal with raising money from Jews who are involved in professions that we are not excited about, and even Jews who are involved in what appears to be activities that are legal, but they are clearly unethical. How? Barbara Streisand.
Yeah.
He didn't want to take, Rabbi Mandel did not want to take money from Barbara Streisand. Today, believe me, any Yeshiva will run to take money from her. Times have changed. Times after that, they would say that Sadek is compared to what?
Bingo, gambling.
There are some very wealthy Jews that are very wealthy from casinos. Okay, it's from casinos or from
legal.
Night owning. But what?
Legal.
Yes. Legal, yeah, because it's legal. But even though it's legal, it is exactly the point. It's legal, but is it ethical? In halacha, is gambling something you're going to give someone shlishi for going? I spent the whole week in Atlantic City, and he comes back for Shabbos. You're going to give him shlishi? This is the model. Is this the what?
You
have money, right? If a kesef yanes akol. But let's try to be serious for a moment. Is this something that you're proud of? So if this fellow comes and he puts down on the table $1 million to build a beautiful new shul, is the right thing to do? Let's say a person has a lot of money, and we know. The person, let's say Rahman Litzlan, was in prison.
Absolutely.
No, I didn't say any names. Don't say any names. Don't say any names. So so obviously, you know, obviously there are issues. Where did the money come from? Where did this money come from?
Maybe the other side of the argument is that money will be used for good, and maybe it'll educate the people not to do these things.
That's a very dangerous thing that you said. That's a very, that's a very. What? It's a very dangerous game. Okay, let's talk about. Okay, I should really keep my mouth shut, but I don't care. I'll say anyway. Let's talk about the Sima Shas. Okay, so it bothers me very, very much, very, very much that the Sima Shas is commercialized to a degree that's beyond belief. It's beyond belief. They would sell every single thing about the Siyum HaShas is money. It's the, I mean, they have, you know, they have their, they, you know, they use all the technology. They have this very fancy high tech screen strip. It goes all the way around. It goes all the way around the entire stadium. And the whole night of the Siyum HaShas, it's streaming with advertisements, all fancy advertisements. Okay, listen, you need money. And every little item is up for sale, and all the kibudim, all of the kibudim. So what is the answer? Well, in ein kemach, ein Torah. That's the answer. But to a degree, is this the proper message? If Torah should be pas ba melach toichal umayim b'misura tishne. Success hizoru b'bnei aniyim shemehem yetsu. Teitzei Torah. Torah, there's no such thing, it's a mitzvah, that Torah does not come through wealth. It's not the way it goes. Rav Steinman, I read in the biography of Rav Steinman, I said mentioned before, that someone came to Rav Steinman and they asked him, they have a son, and the son is learning very, very good in America, and he wants, should I send him to Eretz Yisrael? It's a very big issue today. Should you send children to Eretz Yisrael? Because it's very dangerous. A lot of boys today, they're babies, they're not really mature enough to go, and they can do a lot of harm. It can do a lot of harm sending a child, a boy or a girl, to Eretz Yisrael if they're not ready. It's a fact. You don't know what's going on out there? What?
I'm listening.
It's a fact. There are a lot of people, you hear maybe all the success stories, people that go to Eretz Yisrael, they come back, they're transformed into a whole new Malach Elokim. But there are many horror stories where children go to Eretz, yeah, I'm telling you, it's a fact, they go to Eretz Yisrael, and there's no supervision for many of these seminaries and many of these yeshivas.
So they're not sending them to the right place.
Exactly. No. So you don't know, no one knows what the right place is. No one has nevuah, no one knows who the friends are, no one knows what's going on. It's a danger, it's a real danger. Many parents today have come to realize that it's very, very, it's not so simple to go just to send your child off to Eretz Yisrael to a yeshiva you think is good. A lot of horror stories. If you don't know about them, ashrecha. So the question is, Rav Steinman, he was talking, so he asked him all the questions, and everything seemed fine. And then he said, but you know, he's very learning very good. Why should he go to Eretz Yisrael? He's learning very good in America. So he said to him, you know, it's good he should come to Eretz Yisrael, because Eretz Yisrael, unfortunately, there's a mitzias of poverty. So it's a very big rachmanis. There's a horrible, horrible matzav in Eretz Yisrael that there's poverty. And it's a curse, a poverty. But there are many, many Talmidei Chachamim that despite this very big problem of poverty, they're moiser nefesh to learn Torah mitoich adchak. And your children will never see that in America to this degree. There is. You'll see in America also somewhat people that are moiser nefesh to learn Torah mitoich adchak. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's not possible for a person to go and spend time learning in Eretz Yisrael, not to witness with your own eyes people who are moiser nefesh to learn Torah without anything, without knowing tomorrow where their next dollar will come from, where their bread will come from. That experience is something you should take into consideration when you make the decision if a child should go to Eretz Yisrael. Even though he's learning very, very well in America, and in America there are people that are moiser nefesh, not everyone is super rich, okay, not everyone has a pool and two cars and sends their kids to camp, and then after camp is over you go to Poland to take tours. Not everyone is in that category. There are people that are very, very poor, don't have what to eat, and they're moiser nefesh. But nowhere near the numbers of people that do this in Eretz Yisrael, and to witness that, it will change a person's outlook to what it means, Mesiras Nefesh V'Torah, and there's no such thing as becoming the Gadol Hadar without Mesiras Nefesh V'Torah. It doesn't exist. So to commercialize every little thing to a degree that's way, way out of control is not what Torah is all about. So what is the answer? The answer is, well, if we do not commercialize it and make the money, earn earn the money that we need, we can't afford to make the Siyum in MetLife. We can't afford to rent this facility. So what is my response? It's so don't. Don't. We always were taught as children, maybe not in this generation, is live within your means. Live within your means. So the rebuttal is, but you don't understand, if you're going to go make a siyum in just an auditorium here in Brooklyn, somewhere there, the Kvod Shamayim won't be anywhere near the inspiration for the tzibur to learn and to grow and to be inspired, won't be anywhere near what we could accomplish by making a magnificent celebration in MetLife, in the biggest stadium in the tri-state area. So my response is, so what? Do you really think you're going to have siyata d'shmaya in the inspiration you're trying to create through an event that sends the wrong message that Torah is for sale? Everything is about money, 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 money. This is an argument. Okay, this is an argument. This is a hot debate. Is who's right? Am I right? I'm obviously wrong because everyone is doing it, right? So but this is definitely a discussion, an argument where you're coming to create something to be marbe kavod shamayim on a foundation of money, of money. Damim means blood, and dam also means money. And Marie Kara says, do you really think Hashem, Boinei Tzion, the Damim? Do you really think Hashem, the Kvod Shemayim that you're going to create to have a yearning to come close to Hashem to bring Mashiach, do you really think it's going to be built on events, on institutions that clearly are the ikor? It almost, the message that they send is the ikor is to be rich and famous. Because if you're rich and famous, then you can buy all the kibbutzim. You can be the every single part of the event will be based upon who the sponsor is, and the sponsor will put up their performer to lead in the ceremony. Really, is that what Kavod Shemayim is all about? Maybe make it in a very small facility, make it in a few facilities, and tone down, give all the kibbutzim to Talmidei Chachamim. And it won't be with all the glamour and the glitter of that the world has to offer. Maybe that will spark an inspiration that will be much, much greater. I don't know. Who's right, who's wrong? I don't know. It doesn't seem...
That's why the yeshivas all make their dinners in the Marriott or the Waldorf. They could make it easily in their own building.
You're right. So that's another very big dilemma. So the dilemma, this was something that Chaim Berlin, they claim they introduced this principle. Chaim Berlin, when everyone was making Malava Malchus, going back probably back 50 years at least, before my time, before many of our times, people, the average institution were making dinners in, doing fundraising with Mitzvah Shabbos and Malava Malka for $18. Come, give $18, we're going to serve you some leftover fish from Shalosh Shudis. You come, we'll have a guest speaker, and we're going to raise for the yeshiva money. So Chaim Berlin said, their attitude was, if you make a Lava Malka, you're going to get $18. If you invite a wealthy, even from the wealthiest person, he'll come, he'll give you $18. If you'll go invite a wealthy person to the plaza, to the Marriott, wherever, the fanciest, and you're going to serve him a steak. And you're going to provide him with entertainment. And you're going to spend on his dinner $100. He will give you a check of $5,000. If you do it big, if you make something big and glamorous, then that's a reality of the human condition. Then people will respond, listen, you gave me a dinner over here. I know what it cost. He gave me $100 dinner and this and that. So I'm going to give. I'll give $5,000. What?
I'm surprised to see that in Tarvadas, they had it in the book, in the Hotel Roosevelt, which is not even there, in the 1940s, they made a big dinner there. There's a picture of there. Shlomo Hyman, little Jean, was there, sitting there. Hundreds of people were there. So Tarvadas did it already.
No, but I don't know if they did it in such a grand scale. They served tuna fish there in the Grand Hotel. I know it was a dinner, but it probably, they just rented the play. They rented the location, but I'm not so sure the things that they did were so grand. Chaim Berlin, they went and they really...
It looked like a fancy...
It could be I'm wrong.
A fundraiser will tell you that you have to spend money to make...
Exactly. Exactly. So it works. The fact is, it works. It definitely works. It's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt. Now, that's when you're doing. Now, that my point over here is that's maybe true when you're doing fundraising. You're doing fundraising, and you should know a lot of these fundraisers have some of them at least have a very Torah-dika atmosphere. It used to be years ago. I remember my mother told me usually an RJJ. So there was probably even mixed dancing. Okay, there was mixed dancing.
I can tell you a story about that.
And they had entertainers. Goyish. Who were they raising money from? Friar people, not religious people. Would a Rosh Hashiva, would a Rebbe have a Havamina to go to a yeshiva, the yeshiva dinner? You wouldn't dare. The yeshiva dinner was handled by the Balabatim. The Balabatim, they were very good people. The yeshiva needs money. In those days, who had the money? People that were not religious. They dealt with them in their business. They knew these people. They tried to work with them. And when they raised monies, they made a dinner for the yeshiva. And they had mixed dancing. They had some entertainment. Would a yeshiva ever go? Today, you go to a dinner, it's a given that they'll force, whether you like it or not, they'll take you in chains. Every Rebbe in the yeshiva, and sometimes every Talmud, must be at the dinner. They must be a presence. And they'll put this big, magnificent dais, of all the Rosh Hashiva Rabbanim, and there'll be Choshev Divrei Torah, and there'll be a tam, a Yiddish tam. I went recently to a dinner in the Cheder. I never saw such thing in my whole life. In Lakewood. In Lakewood, there's a yeshiva called the Cheder. Okay, it's a boys' school and a girls' school. If I'm not mistaken, they have 9 parallel classes. Elementary school. 9 parallel classes from kindergarten all the way through 8th grade. And they have the building they built a new boys building, which I don't think it's literally like an airport. Literally like an airport. Can you imagine 9 parallel classes going from kindergarten all the way through 8th grade? It's just not to be believed. And they built into the building for fundraising 2 wedding halls. Yeah. Each wedding hall is probably double the size of anything you saw here in Flappish. So they had the dinner in one of the wedding halls. And because everyone in Lakewood probably has at least 1 child in this cheder at some point in time, so everyone has to come. So come to the dinner. I couldn't believe what I saw. The dais, they had at the dais every single Rebbe in the entire yeshiva sat at the dais. Besides all of the community leaders. It's like, it wasn't to be believed. The dais was like from there, literally, I'm not exaggerating, from the bookcase over here all the way down to the Aron Kodesh. I'm not exaggerating. 3 levels. 3 levels. It was like unbelievable. And the audience, I mean, there wasn't even room. And there's a fundraising event. And I was so impressed. It shook me to the core that when they spoke, it was quiet. I couldn't believe it because I just went the week before to a dinner from someone in Flatbush. It was a zoo. It was literally a circus. And there was a certain. They did it also in a very unique way. It was very, very how they did it. Like a lot of things I learned there. First, there was no dessert. They didn't serve any dessert. It was over right after they served the main course, and that was it. They didn't serve, the Shita did not serve dessert. What do you need dessert for? Well, it's a fundraising event. We had to go give you some, they gave you a supper, and that was it. And I think officially, I'm not even sure they had washed, I don't remember the details. It was really out of the box for me, not something I'm not used to. So we do know that fundraising is different. But a Siyum, I personally feel a Siyum is not a fundraising event. Obviously, the Aguda needs money desperately for all of their very, very chashuv programs. They do an incredible amount of good, which a lot of people don't even know about. People have no clue about all the secret programs that go on at the Aguda, which do enormous, enormous benefit. And everything costs money, so they need the money. They desperately need the money. So who am I to open my mouth? I'm not giving them any money, right? Who am I to open my... But it bothers me that Torah is pure. Torah is pas ba melach toichal, remind ba mesurit tishteh. Torah comes with Mesiras Nefesh. To commercialize every little prat to an extreme for a few more bucks, that's the question that we're grappling with over here in this pasuk. Do you really think, as the Marie Karar of Kalam pointed out, do you really think Hashem is going to be Boinei Yerushalayim, Boinei Tzion, Bedomin? Is that where it's all going to come about? The balance is very, very delicate. It's a very delicate balance, and the nisyonos that a fundraiser has to where he can raise money from sources that are not things that we are proud of, and where you draw the line of what money you take is something which is a very, very great nisyon. I personally wouldn't survive a day. I was a fundraiser working in the... I wouldn't survive a day. You have payroll. You know, the payroll of some of these places is not to be believed. Where are you going to get the money from? If someone's willing to give you money, take it. Right? You're going to go start asking questions? In America, what you don't know, don't ask, don't tell. Right? Isn't that what the attitude is? So as long as it's not outright gezel, as long as you know your lawyer tells you it's clean. I had a mice in Atar Vadas and the certain thing and they wanted me to do something, so I said, I'll do it in a second, but I just want to make sure everything is clean. So the administrator got so angry at me, he got really, really angry at me, chutzpah, I go and I accuse him of anything like that, so he said, to satisfy you, I'm gonna have my lawyer, the yeshiva lawyer, will go over the details with you. Okay? So he said, so the yeshiva's a lawyer. They know you're right, all right, okay, fine. But they have a lawyer, so everything is over the book. But you know, to me it just didn't seem right. It didn't seem right. But they have a lawyer. You have a lawyer, and the lawyer says, this is the law. We do this every single day. Everything's on the books. We work with the government. We're not playing games over here. Everything's on. Okay, fine. Absolutely, absolutely. But then you have situations, unfortunately, where yeshivas end up in the newspaper because they don't have a lawyer, or you know, they're cooking the books. Okay, so do you really expect Torah to be built on such a foundation? It's not a simple matter. Enough said. Let's go further. Let us go further. Pasuk Yud Aleph in the Radak 481. Rosheha Heim Hamalachim Oy Hasanhedrin Vichayaneha Shahayulham Lohiris Atira. The leaders, the kings, the Malachim, Oy Hasanhedrin. So interesting how he points out that the Rosheha, who he puts into this title. I mentioned just without thinking, it's referring to the Dayanim who decide the Chesha Mishpat, because it says the word Mish, because it says over the Yishpaitu, Mishpat. So he says, no, refers to the Malachim, the kings, and the Sanhedrin. People who decide matters of the Torah, they're corrupt. Someone who pays them, they get a favorable decision. Their prophecy is a lie. Like we discussed before. And people are corrupt. What do they say? The people say, listen, as long as the Eish Min HaShamayim is still on top of the Mizbeach. There was a special divine fire that was burning on the Mizbeach, which represented Hashem's Shekhinah. As long as there's Shekhinah b'kirbeinu, lo yisavar l'nira'ah v'lo yachariv, there's nothing to worry about. V'lo ra'ah l'hachariv es beisay, k'mo shahayu oimim, heichal Hashem, ich l'Hashem, heimah. In Yirmiyah, this famous pasuk, they said three times, people did not believe it was possible that Hashem would destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You just couldn't believe it. It's impossible. Even though it happened once. When did it happen? Shiloh. We don't discuss enough the Churban of Shiloh. Shiloh was there for 369 years. Can you imagine? It's almost as long as the Beis HaMikdash. 369 years. It was basically kiloi bosim anota el ha minucha v'el ha nachala. This week's parasha, I think. Minucha is Shiloi, Nachla is Yerushalayim. Shiloi was an equal to Yerushalayim. And people never in their wildest imagination dreamt that it could be destroyed. But it was. There was a Melchama with the Pelishtim. They took the Aron Hashem to war. The Aron was captured. And Eli's two sons, Hophni and Pinchas, were killed in battle. Eli, when he heard the report, he collapsed and he died. And there's a chazal, it's a mesorah, doesn't say this anywhere in any pasuk, that at that time the Pelishtim destroyed Shiloi. There are no records. The Bayis Rishon, we have all the psukim. The Bayis Sheni, we have Josephus. We have all the details, all the gory details of what happened. But Shiloi, what was the equivalent of the Bayis Hamikdash, was destroyed by the Pelishtim in a brutal way, and many people were murdered and killed. It was a horrible, horrible thing. People were shell-shocked. Could it really be that Shiloi was destroyed? If we learn Yeshaya, we learn other Nevi'im, we always learned that the nastiest thing a Navi could ever say to Klal Yisrael, the nastiest thing which would mean for them to run for their life, if a Navi would say to them, if you don't behave, it's going to be Shiloh all over again. It's like saying today, Chas Hashem, you say to a person, you say, if you don't behave, the Holocaust will happen all over again. I mean, how can you say that? So those words are like, you know, to say those words are you're banned for life to say such a thing. Right? That's what it was. To say to Klal Yisrael, it will be Shiloh all over again. We learned that. I remember we learned that in Yeshaya. You say those words, the people would kill the Navi. The Navi had to run for his life. It was unfathomable that such thing could happen. And Yirmi, it says, Heichal Hashem, three times. Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem, Heichal Hashem. It's not going to be destroyed. People, they meditated. It's impossible that the Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. So what's so bad if we do Averos? Hashem, we have Hashem. Hashem can't do anything to us anyway. And here he's saying exactly the same thing. There's a lot of parallelism between all the various prophets. And Michal is saying over here is, you think it's not going to happen. You think you can go and you can do whatever you want, and Hashem's not going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. You say, Avel Hashem Yishoenu Leimah Halei Hashem Bekvenu Losev Aleinu Ra'ah. You're making a big, big mistake. That's his message. Okay, so this concludes the Radak. Let's see quickly for a few moments the little bit of the Malbim. The Malbim, back on the previous page. On the previous page, page 479, Shimon Azois, Achash Yamar Shimon Azois, Rosh Beis Yaakov, Matztike Darke Hashem, Matztik Darke Hashem Shabbat called Bedim Mishpat, Misayim Devodav. He's now winding down, Micha. Imkein, Shimon Azois, listen now what I'm about to tell you. Ma Sha'oimar Lochemato, what I'm about to say to you, I have a very important message. Achash Atem Misavim Mishpat, after you who detest justice. That's a very harsh statement to say to a person, not just that you are corrupt, it's that you detest, that includes emotion of mishpat. Shuhadin ha-nimusi. Nimusi means what is acceptable, what is proper, a code of conduct. V'gam eis kol ha-yeshara devarim ha-seichel m'chayei v'yiso ya-keishu. So he says something very interesting. Over here he titles the word, a very fascinating translation, the Malbim, to say the word yoshar is just common sense, which you always tell me is not so common. Okay? There are certain things that it says in the books. It says in Chumash. And there are certain things it doesn't have to say. It's intuitive. It's natural. It's just logical. That is how he teaches the word yoshar. Okay? Many will argue on this. It's not so uncommon to see commentators that say, there's no such thing as normal. Because the proof is, look at society. Look at society today, and there are things that are done that are acceptable, which go back 100 years ago, if they would be taken in a time machine and see what's going on today, they would say the people in this generation, they literally lost their mind. So, well, what do you mean? People today are very sophisticated. They're very normal. They're very successful.
Normal is a standard that changes.
So exactly. So I was saying what the Malbim says here is a very big chiddush. The Malbim over here says that you don't. He's basically saying you don't necessarily need the Torah to tell you what's yosher. The Torah gives us a special guide for life. We're Jews, and therefore Hashem has a certain derech for us that's different than the Umar Sa'ilah. But there are certain things that a human being, that's just the human condition, there's the human condition. You have Rachmanis, you conduct yourself in a certain way. There are certain things that even if the Torah was never given to mankind, there's a certain code of conduct that's called Yosha. So I just want to point out that what the Malbim says is a chiddush, because many people will tell you that's not so. Because even what you consider to be normal is only because the Torah sets the guide, sets the baseline. This, let me tell you, is called normal. And therefore, train yourself to be normal. And if not for the Torah, you would not even know what normal is. Why? Pukhazi. Go out into the world and see what's going on. There are things that are acceptable today that's considered to be normal that our ancestors would think that we're insane. We're totally insane. How in the world do you live a life, walk the streets, and this is acceptable? You people are crazy. What do you mean we're crazy? This is normal. Terence says normal is also subject to the definition that the Torah outlines. So there is no such thing as yosha, as meaning as normal. Even yashrus has to be spelled out letter by letter in the words of the Torah and the words of Chazal, what is normal. Sefer HaYashar, Chumash Bereishis, is Sefer HaYashar to learn the pattern, what is called normal, study the Avos, look at their conduct, that is called Yashar. That's called Yashrus. And then on top of that, Hashem gave us mitzvot as well. So it's a chiddush. When he writes over here that there is something called Dvarim Shehaseichel Mechayev Oisam, that's called Yashar. What would the Malbim say if he came into the 21st century and walked the streets with us? We'll give him a tour of society, of this country, other countries. You know, go study the whole world. What would the Malbim? Would the Malbim put out a second edition? Good question. Okay, good question. But Rashi, you can't say that. Rashi was a Rishon. You can't say Rashi. Rashi's Kodesh Kadosh. You can't say Rashi would put out a second edition. That's not correct. But the Malbim was not so long ago. Okay, the Malbim was not so long ago. So it's interesting. What would the Malbim say about today? People are corrupt. They don't listen to what is acceptable. That has been accepted. The tzibur has accepted this to be correct. They don't listen to what is. We use this term all the time. What is correct in the person? What is natural? Fine. So very the Marikara and the Malbim must say exactly the same thing. So over here, Micha is saying, let me ask you a rhetorical question. That Hashem is going to build Yitzhi with blood money. That her leaders, they take bribes. That Hashem loves blood and transgression. Ridiculous. When they judge with bribery, Yishanu al Hashem. Hashem wants this. Hashem wants us to take the bribe. They're so corrupt. That's what Hashem wants. Uvezet tibon etzion v'tzikon in Yerushalayim will be established. Haloi Hashem boine tzion b'mishpat uvitztoko. We say this in the davening. We say melech ohev tzedaka u'mishpat. So here he says exactly this point. The Rosheha, The leaders are those that exercise mishpat bin odom lachavera, between men lachavera, yishmetu v'shoichat, v'chayanecha hashakavuim al ha'hoira yorubim v'chir, shalafiyam v'chir, according to the price, the bribe, sheyinasein lachem yitamu v'yitaru ya'asru v'yatir, exactly what we said before, yoridea, tomei, tohar, osur mutar, matters, bin odom lamokoyim, men and Hashem, Univieh, our prophets, lo yinabu, they do not prophesize, rak yik simu, bikisamim, al yide kesef shenoisim lohem, they divine only through, only when you, they're paid, im kain eich al Hashem yisha'enu lemer halay Hashem yikabeinu, how dare you say, we rely upon Hashem, vishu yogin aleihem, leval yavay aleihem, ra'ah, how dare you make such a statement. Okay, tomorrow, mir tz Hashem, learn the likutei shas, the Navari Chazal, we'll pick up tomorrow, we'll take a short break,